All right, folks, welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Friday, July 19th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. I've got news for you today. I've completed another round of forensic audio analysis of the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. And I have arrived at the rational conclusion. In fact, as I'll share with you here today, it is inescapable that there were shooters at three different distances. And that means there are a minimum of three shooters. Could be four shooters involved if you also count Crooks as the patsy, shooter number one. In addition to Crooks, there could also be three additional shooters. Now, we have forensic audio proof here. I'll be presenting it for you today with a screen capture. I kind of walk you through it using audio analysis. And we're measuring the snap boom gaps, the time gaps, the differences. And in this analysis, we're taking a look at especially rounds 4 through 7, because it's generally believed by most analysts at this point that rounds 1, 2, and 3 were probably fired by Crooks, although we don't know for sure because we haven't seen any video of him firing, as far as I know. But round number 1 is widely understood to be the round that clipped Donald Trump's ear. Well, I should say penetrated his ear, shot his ear. Rounds 2 and 3 missed. And then there was a 2.5 second gap, roughly, give or take, you know, a couple of tenths of a second. And then there were rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. And it's these rounds that indicate there are other shooters. In particular, rounds 4 and 5 are at the same distance as Crooks, as you'll see in my analysis today. Round 6 came from a medium range, possibly 600 to 700 feet away from the podium. And then round 7 came from a longer range. We're estimating 1,100 to 1,500 feet. And of course, I'm looking at the water tower question. A lot of people have been asking that question. Let me show you, by the way, this video of this appears to be a man on top of the water tower standing for some reason during the speech. Let me just show you this video and see what you might make of it.
That chart. That chart's a couple of months old, and if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
Okay, so that's an interesting water tower video. We don't know exactly who that person was. You would think if it was a shooter, they would be more prone, not standing. But clearly someone appears there and then later on vanishes. So that just raises more questions. But the audio forensics indicates for certain that there were at least three different shooters at three different distances. Now, so I'm going to play that full video for you with the detailed analysis. And I actually had to start this whole recording over because I had to dive into the audio analysis. I was just plagued by the rounds 4 through 7. I had to figure it out, and I think we did. But in other big news, Joe Biden is stepping down from the campaign, not from the presidency, stepping down from the campaign. And apparently that announcement is going to come as early as this weekend, which is something that Alex Jones actually predicted almost to the day, by the way, weeks ago. And it looks like Joe Biden will not endorse Kamala Harris, that there will be an open convention carried out by the Democrats. And by open, they mean rigged, of course. So there'll be a rigged open convention where they will either choose like Hillary Clinton or Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama or some other disgusting person. And it's going to be a circus. I don't even think Kamala is going to win that effort, by the way. But it'll be fun to watch. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. Operation Burning Edge is a docuseries that is launching this Saturday at Brighton University, which is brightu.com. And I really would like to encourage you to register for that. You can watch it for free. That's at brightu.com. Operation Burning Edge featuring Ann Vandersteel. Michael Yon is in it. and Oscar Blue and some other notable people talking about the border invasion situation, how bad it is, and also some of the things that we can do to stop it, and a lot of behind the scenes footage and so on. For those of you who register there, it's free to watch. You can also optionally purchase the entire program and download it if you wish, and help support the Operation Burning Edge team and the Brighton TV team that put that together, as well as helping to support our platform. So again, that begins this Saturday at Bright. Well, that's tomorrow. Gosh. At brightu.com, bright, followed by the letter U, brightu.com. All right, some other important news to share with you. The Alliance for Natural Health, which is a group that I have long admired and supported and monitored, you know, we've covered many of their stories. They're found at anh-usa.org, anh-usa.org. They have appointed Jonathan Emord as their lead counsel. And he's known as the FDA Dragon Slayer. He has defeated the FDA on numerous occasions. And of course, Jonathan Emord is one of the brightest legal minds in America. He's always reminded me of our founding fathers. And that's why I supported his Senate campaign in Virginia. Unfortunately, he did not win the primary there, but America is very blessed to have this man. Jonathan Emord is going to be an extraordinary asset for the Alliance for Natural Health. And they put out a press release. So we're proud and excited to announce the appointment of leading constitutional lawyer Jonathan W. Emord as ANHUSA's general counsel. He's got 38 years of experience, by the way. I was just talking with him 2 days ago, and that's what he told me, 38 years of experience in regulatory legal matters with the FDA and the FTC. And he has defeated the FDA and the FTC on numerous occasions, and he's one of the best attorneys in the country. So just want to encourage you to support the Alliance for Natural Health, and you can donate at their website. You can learn about their mission, and they work to keep nutritional supplements free. I don't mean like free of charge, but I mean that you have the freedom to buy them or sell them or take them without the government telling you what you can't do. Like, oh, you're not allowed to buy, you know, NAC or whatever, which they love to do. They love to tell you. If they could, these tyrants at the FDA, they would ban vitamin C if they could. Trust me. I've seen it firsthand. If they could burn down the entire supplements industry, they would do it. They're all in for big pharma. So the Alliance for Natural Health is very important to support. Jonathan Emord is an incredible asset to them and to our country. All right, so one more thing. We have a report now that the local police, the Butler police, that were doing apparently traffic operations at the shooting, and one of whom reportedly noticed this crooks guy on the roof. They were not wearing body cams that day. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Like every other day, every cop wears a body cam. Why would you not? If you're a cop, you're wearing a body cam and you're hitting record all day long, you know, because cops are targeted by angry leftists, right? So if you're a cop, you're wearing a body cam, except not that day. Those cops did not wear body cams. Kind of sounds like a Jeffrey Epstein kind of moment, like, huh, suddenly all the security cameras all stopped working magically, and then he was dead. We think he killed himself. No, Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. And the cameras did not stop working all by themselves. And no, the Butler police, the reason they didn't have body cams is because somebody ordered them not to wear body cams. Because, of course, they have to, you know, the Secret Service or whoever, Mayorkas in government, whoever is running a coup, and they want to make sure there's no remaining evidence. So that's why no body cams. But we're going to jump into the audio forensic analysis now, and I'm not going to run an interview today just because I really want to focus on this multiple shooter conclusion, at least three shooters at three different distances. That's what's quite clear now from the audio file. So check this out. I'll walk you through it on the screen. It's pretty detailed. I hope it's not too boring or too geeky. But if you really want to get to the bottom of this, check out the video straight ahead. And be sure to support us. Thank you for your support. HealthRangerStore.com is where you can, of course, get supplements and superfood, so much more. Take care of your backup communications needs at the satellite phone store. SAT123, they're a sponsor of our podcast here. And then also check out all of our discounts and deals and discount codes at rangerdeals.com, where a lot of the companies that we promote, some who are not sponsors, they've given us discount codes to pass along to you. And I've very carefully selected them. It's a pretty small number, but they're really great companies that offer solutions to help you stay healthy and well and safe and alive and to protect your assets, things like that. So check that out at rangerdeals.com. So enjoy this audio forensic analysis, and I'll have more updates for you this weekend. All right. Hello, everybody. This is Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, and I'm one of the people who sort of spearheaded the forensic audio analysis of mass shooting events, starting back with the Vegas shooting many years ago, and now with the recent assassination attempt of Donald J. Trump. Thank God it failed. Now, the thing about audio forensics is that if you understand speed of sound and the speed of ballistics or the characteristics of ballistics, then you can take a pretty good guess at the distance from which an incoming round was originally shot, let's say. And so what we have here right now, this audio file, is a recording. This is the Fox News recording of the recent shooting. And I'm going to play it for you here at full speed. And then I also have a half speed version right here that we'll go through because, well, let me back up. I was just watching a video from Dr. Chris Martinson, who's also a trained scientist, a published scientist. And he was commenting about this group of shots right here, which I had not actually really looked closely at this group of shots. Let me back up even more. Okay. Right here are the first three shots. So let's play that. Actually, let me get it in stereo. Okay. Okay, you got that? So let's learn how these work. Let me play it one more time. So this is a really great example here. Let me zoom in a little bit. Because this sound that you hear right here, this is the hypersonic crack of the incoming round coming near the microphone. Here's what that sounds like. Okay, I'm just playing that over and over again for you. It's a snap, okay? And then this is the sound of the boom from the rifle or the rifle report at a distance. All right, so the typical pattern that you hear with incoming rounds from rifle rounds, which travel much faster than the speed of sound, is something like this. Got it? It's like a snap, boom, snap, boom. Okay. Now that's a very typical pattern. In fact, here's another example of that. This is the third round that was fired. And then this was the first round that was fired right here. Okay. Now what's interesting, we'll take this one. If you measure the distance or the time duration between these two events, like this right here, if you look at the time codes here and you carefully measure this, it comes out to 0.22 seconds. And 0.22 seconds, if you do the math on that, with some pretty good guesses about muzzle velocity, density, altitude, or air density, and humidity, and air temperature, and so on, then you can get a pretty good guess about the speed of sound. And then by doing some pretty basic algebra, you can calculate the distance from which this round arrived. And if you do the math on this with some pretty basic assumptions, let's see, that distance comes out to about somewhere between 400 and 450 feet, essentially, based on the numbers that you use. And that's consistent with the position of the known shooter, the identified shooter, Crooks, as he has been identified by the media sources and so on. So if you hear the first three rounds, Actually, let me grab it here. This is what it sounds like. And you'll notice then that the distance or the time difference between the snap and the crack is consistent among all these three rounds. It's exactly the same. It's 0.22 seconds. So if I play this, that's the same gap, time gap as this. Okay. So we know that those first three rounds, which are indicated here, these first three rounds are fired from the same distance. And they sound like the same rifle. They have about the same sound quality and sound signature. Now, if we slow that down, by the way, here's a half-speed version of that, which will really help us when we look at these other shots. Here's what the half-speed version sounds like. So it's even easier to tell. Here you go. I'll just do this snap boom at half speed. Okay. So in real time, that's 0.44 seconds, but of course it's half the speed. So really that's 0.22 seconds in the original file, this file. All right. Now, if we move forward a few seconds, now after that third round is fired, here's the third round, snap boom. And then there's all this kind of crowd noise with no rounds fired. Okay, that's Trump ducking down, Secret Service getting on top of him, some people starting to scream in the crowd. And by the way, this audio is unedited by me. This is audio straight out of the Fox News feed. I have not done anything. I haven't even adjusted levels. The only thing that I've done to this file here is I've slowed it down by 50%, okay? But no other edits. Now, back to the original speed file. After this crowd noise and, you know, get down, then you have this flurry. Really, it's about to right here, this flurry of additional shots. And at full speed, which I'll play here, it's at first very difficult to make any sense of this. Listen. Okay. And if you're not good at or experienced at audio forensics, that just sounds like a flurry of fire. Now, getting back to Dr. Chris Martinson, he took a closer look at this cluster of shots, which I had not actually analyzed. My initial analysis focused on these first three because I was trying to identify what's the distance of the shooter, you know, the shooter that got off the first rounds. And that question was definitely answered. But now, thanks to Dr. Chris Martinson, who is, again, a very, very bright science-minded person, he's taking a look at these rounds and asking some questions of what these are. Well, he actually thanked me in his video for my initial analysis, and he was saying that he wanted some audio forensics experts to take a look at this and provide some more answers. So that's exactly what we're going to do here. So thank you, Dr. Martinson. So now this is half speed again, and I'm going to zoom in. I'll hit the plus here so we can zoom in and we can start to see the waveforms a little better here. So let me play that cluster for you at half speed. I'm cutting it off here on purpose. I'm eliminating this for now. We'll get to that later, okay? But we're going to focus on these things right here. So listen to it at half speed. Now, again, at first glance, you might think, well, it just sounds like a bunch of shooting. Well, like, what's the big deal? Well, we're going to zoom in and we're going to go through these one by one. All right, so how many gunshots was that? Hard to tell if you don't know what you're looking for, right? So let's zoom in really tightly here. And let's take these shots one by one, okay? So we know that snap boom is what we're looking for. So let's play this. That's a snap boom. Snap boom. And it turns out that that is also very close to 0.22 seconds. So this first round, this is actually round four in terms of all the rounds that we know that were fired, right? Because the first three, well, look, the first three are over here. Those are the first three. We've already covered those first three. So now we're on round number four. And four, again, this time distance here is consistent with a shooter at roughly 400 to 450 feet. So then let's go to the next little cluster that we hear. Let's figure out, what is this? Okay, here we have the same pattern. Snap, boom. Snap, boom, right? And what's the distance here? What is this distance? It's also very close to 0.22. So that's also consistent with the shooter that we believe was on the roof, right? Crooks. So again, this is one shot, and then this is another shot. And these don't overlap. In other words, he didn't have a rapid enough fire for these peaks to be overlaid onto each other. But now we're going to go to the next round. Let's see. This would be round number four, right? And then this is round number five, counting from the very beginning. So you would expect that right here, this must be round number six, is what you're probably thinking, right? So let's listen. Is this round number six? Does this have snap boom? Let's listen. Whoa. That's not snap boom. That's snap snap. Wait a minute. What's going on? That's actually two incoming rounds. And if we let's take that as the time measurement there, okay? And let's really zoom into this. So, and we can actually see this on the screen. So I'm going to take this as the center point. And if you look down here, you see it says 0.09.934. So let's move ahead one little tiny bit here. I'm using the cursor keys to do this. We can kind of move it around, but that's 0.9935. Let me indicate that. And this one here is 10.235. So let's do the math. 10.235 minus 9.933 gives us, in this is half speed, 0.302. Okay. So at full speed, that would be, that distance would be 0.151. So what we know here is that there are two incoming rounds that are arriving 0.151 seconds apart. Now let's go back to the original one times speed, you know, the normal speed. Okay. Try to make a little bit of sense of this. Now, again, this is bullet number four right here. This is bullet number five. Snap, bang, and this, these are the two more incoming rounds that we just heard, two snaps. You notice how they're much closer together. So that is not, we haven't yet heard the report of the rifle, have we? We've heard two incoming rounds. Got it? Okay, so given that we've heard now two incoming rounds, we should expect to hear two rifle reports. And indeed, okay, remember, these are the two incoming rounds. Just trying to be really clear here. There it is in stereo. After that, we hear two reports. Got it? So this is different from the other pattern where it's snap, boom. This is snap, snap, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Got it? Okay. Now this tells us something very important, because this snap is associated with this boom. Got it? This snap, this boom. And this distance right here can tell us, this time gap can give us an estimate of the distance, or of this shooter. Okay, so let's do the math on that. Let's just take a look here. So let's say this is the report right here, and this gives us 5.504. So let me put that in the calculator. 5.504 minus, so let's get right there, and that is 5.138. Okay, that gives us 0.366. Let's zoom out here And let's start over to make sure we know which bullet we're talking about. Let me zoom out a lot. All right, start it from the beginning. Okay, so that's three bullets, right? Three bullets there. We go here, zoom in a little bit. This is number four. This is number five. This is the snap of number six. And this is the report of number six. And that snap and that report in this normal speed audio file, they're not 0.22 seconds apart. They're 0.36 seconds apart. Or that's almost twice the time gap between the snap and the report. So that means that the bullet that made this snap, which is the same bullet as the bullet that made this report, is much farther away than the first three rounds and round number four and number five. Because rounds one, two, three, four, and five are pretty much the same distance. But then we have the six, which is much farther apart. Now, I will do the math. I'll do the algebra on that later to get you a number of what that is. But just ballpark, if we were to just take a rough guess, if it's about twice the time distance, you might suppose it's a little bit less than twice the actual ground distance. So maybe that's 800 feet or give or take. We'll actually do the math and we'll get the right number on that. But it's not 400 feet. If it were 400 feet, it would sound like 0.22 seconds. Instead, it sounds like 0.366 seconds. Okay, but that's bullet number six. Again, this is the snap of bullet six, and this is the boom of bullet six. Now we have this other bullet here, bullet seven. We haven't covered this one yet. Bullet seven, where is the boom for bullet seven? Well, as we said earlier, it's out here. So bullet seven, here's what you're going to hear in this group is bullet seven arriving, the rifle report of the shot of number six, and then the rifle report of the shot of bullet seven. Listen to this. Hear it? Snap, boom, boom. Snap, boom, boom. Okay? It's almost got rhythm. Now, what if we measure this distance then between the incoming snap of this round and the boom of this rifle? What does that look like? Well, I have pre-measured that, by the way, at 0.77 seconds. So I'm taking notes too on paper, believe it or not, going old school today. But we've got 0.77 seconds gap for bullet number seven. And I did go ahead and do the algebra on that one. And let me tell you the assumptions I made. I made the assumption of muzzle velocity at an average of 3,000 feet per second. And the reason I chose that instead of 2,500 feet per second is because, well, you know, I'm an accomplished long-range shooter. And if I were taking that shot, I would have used a much larger caliber, ideally something like 300 Win Mag. I would have used a small grain bullet in a 300 Win Mag cartridge, a bullet on the order of like 178 grains, something like that, which is a pretty small bullet for the large amount of gunpowder charge in the cartridge. And the reason that you would do that is to get much higher velocity, to give you a flatter trajectory, and also a lot less of flight time, which means your round is less susceptible to wind. And anyway, with that assumption at 3,000 feet per second, then that distance comes out to, if I did the math right, 1,386 feet, not yards, but feet. So let's just round that to 1,400 feet away. 1,400 feet away is about 1,000 feet farther away than the shooter on the roof, you know, Crooks. So somebody somewhere from some angle, we don't know the angle. We can't calculate the angle from the audio forensics, by the way. Somebody took a shot from about 1,400 feet. Now, you got to give me a lot of leeway on that because I'm taking some educated guesses about the muzzle velocity. And also, I do fully realize, of course, that muzzle velocity diminishes quickly once the round leaves the barrel because of course, friction with the air. So I'm saying an average of 3,000 feet per second because, when I'm testing muzzle velocity on my own rifles with a chronograph, I'll get like 3,150, out of a 300 Win Mag round. And there'll be some variability depending on the manufacturer of the cartridge and the consistency in their manufacture, but it's not unusual to have variability of even 100 feet per second on a round like that. And if you bought cheap ammo, you could have more variability than 100 feet per second, just depending on, how much gunpowder got dropped into that brass, right? So I'm guessing 3,000 feet per second as an average velocity over the flight path of that round. And that's an educated guess, and it's also a nice round number to work with. Okay. So, but you got to give me some leeway. Maybe this seventh round came from somebody that's only 1,200 feet away, or maybe 15 or 1,600 feet away. I would say, really, I would say it's like 1,400 feet away, plus or minus 200 feet, something like that. That would be reasonable. We would get within, a pretty tight, small number of standard deviations with that. So that's my goal. Get us kind of in the ballpark. We know that this round did not come from the shooter on the roof. And there's been a lot of talk about the water tower. Now, I intentionally have not measured the distance of the water tower to the podium where Trump was speaking. As of this moment, I have not measured that, although it would be easy to measure using, satellite maps. I have not done that. I'm going to. And I'm wondering if the water tower lines up with this estimate of about 1,400 feet. If it does, then it's, Twilight Zone time. Then it's spooky. Like, oh my gosh, it's like it's right here in the audio. There it is. If the water tower is within the range indicated by this, then yes, indeed, it could indicate that one person took one shot from the water tower. Okay. Now then, after that last report, you get this. Okay. What is that? Now, it might help to hear it in the context of the last rifle boom. Now, it's in rapid succession here, right? And it sounds like three rifle reports, except you may notice something here that they diminish in size. Do you notice this downward slope? Well, like, watch my cursor. Boom, it's sloping down. It's sloping down. What is that? There's a rational explanation, or at least a possibility. These could be echoes. It could be that, let me go over here. It could be that this incoming round, this is the one we're talking about, number seven, which produces this report, was carried out with a very high-powered rifle. Again, I'm guessing 300 Win Mag. And a 300 Win Mag, let's suppose they were not using a suppressor. I don't know why they wouldn't use a suppressor. I always prefer to use suppressors just for the sake of peace and quiet, But, I mean, I don't want to be shooting off 300 Win Mags just with regular ear pro on without a suppressor. It's just that's a little too traumatizing. I'd rather use a suppressor. And I think suppressors should be non-NFL items, by the way. You should be able to just, pick them up with your gun through a regular FFL dealer. But anyway, that's my opinion. If this report here from the rifle, if this rifle was not suppressed, and if the geometry of buildings were just right, then these could be reflections of this report off of some structure that was indicated at just the right angle between the origin of this bullet and the location of the microphone that's picking up this report and these echoes. Okay. Possible echoes. And again, the clue is the diminishing amplitude. So this makes a straight line down. Boom. This up here, this is the full amplitude of the report. Then this is diminished by maybe half of the overall height. And then this has diminished another like 20% or so. And that's very characteristics of echoes. And actually, of course, if you understand the speed of sound, then you can measure this right here, the distance between these two echoes, and you can very easily calculate the distance between the two faces that produce these echoes as this sound was coming in. But I haven't actually done that calculation, but somebody could. It's right here. It's you know, this is a fingerprint, okay? You can't change the audio. What happened is imprinted in this audio. All right, so if we back up now and look at this whole thing. Oh, and by the way, I should add, there's one more shot here that's not even in this audio file, which appears to be the shot of the counter sniper team that actually took out Crooks. That's my understanding. And it's only a single shot from what we know, which brings up the question, who's doing all this shooting? What's all this? Because if this stuff here, if this is Crooks, if Crooks only fires three rounds, and this is why I have a question, like, where's the brass? And how many pieces of brass rolled down the roof, right? You know, check the gutters, guys, check the gutters before the FBI covers it up. But there should be, if he fired three rounds, should be three pieces of brass. And then you have these rounds, which is rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. So this whole thing is 7 rounds and possibly 2 echoes right here at the end, okay? So now, having gone over that, let's listen to this. Actually, let's listen. Let's do this. This will be fun. Let's listen to it at half speed, the whole thing that I was just talking about, and then we'll listen to it at full speed, okay? And I'll kind of narrate this as we're going through. I'm not trying to make this excessively long, but I am trying to be sufficiently detailed. All right, here we go. So again, this is half speed now. Here we go. And I'll kind of name off the bullets. 1, 2, 3. Four, five. Incoming 6, 7, report 6, 7, 2 echoes. Okay? And this is the part that's difficult to make sense of. But we just decoded all that. We decoded all that. So now we know, again, that's 5. I'm sorry, that's 4, 5, 6, and 7. And we know that 6 and 7, importantly, 6 and 7 are at 2 different distances, and that both of those distances are different from 1 through 4. Correct? You agree with me on that? Okay, 1 through 4 here. We know, let me just cover the numbers here. We know that bullets 1 through 4 had a time gap of 0.22 seconds. We know that bullet 6, make sure I get that, is this 6 right here? Is this 6? Yeah. 6, which has this report here, that has a time gap of 0.366 seconds. And then we have bullet 7, which has a time gap of 0.077 seconds. So guess what that means, folks? It means there are 3 shooters, 3 different distances. Yeah. And I didn't realize that until I analyzed this part. Unless there's some other very unusual explanation that I can't imagine, but I'm certainly open to other people's explanations, but from what I'm seeing and hearing, this is the explanation that currently makes the most sense. Now, let's listen to it in real time. Here we go. So you see how difficult it would be to parse this without the understanding that we just went through? I mean, listen to this in real time again. It just sounds like a flurry of gunfire. And admittedly, when I heard that at first, I thought that was the police shooting back. And that's why I thought there were so many different sounds, because I thought, I mean, I don't know why I thought this. I thought the police were responding quickly, or Secret Service was responding. I thought they were just sending a volley of of rounds back at the shooter. And that's what I thought all this was. And it turns out it's not. Turns out it's more incoming rounds coming into where Trump was speaking from two additional shooters. Let me tell you what I think is actually happening here. All right, let's see again. These are the first three. I think round one is probably Crooks. Round two is Crooks. Round three is Crooks. I think these three rounds are Crooks. It's my guess. Rounds four and five are from the same distance as Crooks, but they are not Crooks. I think rounds four and five, right here, I think rounds four and five are from a rogue Secret Service team in the building that Crooks was on top of. All right, so rounds four and five, Secret Service. That's my guess. Round six, then, which has the medium range distance, round six is from, let's say, medium range sniper. And round seven, which is this incoming round here with this rifle report, round seven is long range sniper. Got it? So seven rounds coming in, three different distances, and three different shooters. But interestingly, the medium range shooter and the long range shooter only got off one round each. What does that tell you? Tells you they were using bolt action rifles. Most likely. This incoming round here is probably a bolt action round. Round number seven, bolt action. Round number six, bolt action. That's why they couldn't just squeeze the trigger again and get off more rounds. But why do you use bolt action rifles? Accuracy. And you need the accuracy when you're farther out like that. But by the way, 1,400 feet, or even, you know, let's say 1,500 feet. So that's just 500 yards. That's not even considered very far for a 300 Win Mag round. That's like, I joke, and, you know, I make sure the trigger is working by shooting, I don't know, I think a 4-inch steel target at 400 yards or 450 yards, not feet, but yards, you know, with a 300 Win Mag rifle that I have. But of course I have, you know, I have like a 5-25 optic on it. And so you zoom that sucker in, and that 4-inch target fills your whole optic pretty much. And you have like super narrow vision, but you can, I use the Tremor 3 reticle, by the way. I really like the Accuracy International, the Tremor reticles, because I don't have to dial in drop or dial wind. I just hold it. And those of you who are shooters, you know what I'm talking about. Use Tremor, you know, Tremor reticles. And then I know my drop, you know, whatever it is. It's like, you know, 1.5 mils or whatever at this range. And just hold the 1.5 mils and squeeze the trigger and try not to like twerk the whole thing, you know. And the rounds are on target. So it's, you know, long range shooting is not actually that crazy difficult. It just takes training and the ability to relax and not like, you know, squeeze the grip and get nervous and shake the rifle around and tense up all the time. You just got to relax, man. Relax your hand. Anyway, so there you go. There's my analysis. We have, folks, we have seven rounds. We have three different shooters at three different ranges. And if you can think of a different explanation for all this audio that we just went through, I'm certainly open to that. Maybe there's some other explanation that I've missed, or maybe there's a better way to interpret, especially these possible echoes, which I don't have a super high confidence about these events right here. Not crazy certain. But I'm very certain about incoming round six and its signature, and incoming round seven and its signature, because there's no other rifle report anywhere in here. So we know that six and seven were farther away. I think that anybody watching this who is interested in, you know, understanding the truth about what happened, I think that you should forward this video to your probably Republican lawmakers or members of Congress, you know, get this into the hands of Matt Gaetz, for example, Jim Jordan, people like that, and say, look, go out and find an academic, you know, super credentialed audio forensic analysis expert. Because, you know, I'm not a credentialed audio forensic expert. I mean, I'm a published lab scientist and, you know, patent holder, and I run mass spec instruments for elemental analysis and stuff like that. But I, you know, I can't testify as an expert on audio analysis. There are other people who can. You should get those people and let them look at this audio file and let them go through this and let them tell you what they think this is. Because I think if anybody's honest about it, they're going to come to conclusions that are very similar to what I've just shared with you here. Maybe not exactly the same, and we can make different assumptions about, you know, ambient conditions or muzzle velocity or the grains of the bullets and what have you, but we're probably going to be pretty close to the same numbers. And these rounds 6 and 7, these are not close to the first three rounds in terms of the audio delay, you know, not even close. We're talking 0.22 seconds here versus 0.77 seconds for round number 7. Isn't that interesting, by the way? It's 777. It's round 7 at 0.77 seconds, huh? It's like lucky sevens, huh? I mean, Trump got lucky. Well, I think the hand of God intervened personally. But, you know, lucky number 7, the sevens missed Trump, and he is still with us. So, again, I'm Mike Adams. That's my analysis for you. I welcome any corrections, any observations, any additional information. I don't claim to have the only analysis of this or always the right answers like you. I'm just part of this crowdsourcing effort to find out what happened and get to the bottom of this. And I'm absolutely convinced that the deep state was behind this and that there were multiple shooters. It's very clear at this point, at least in my mind. So thank you for watching and listening today. If you want to catch my other interviews and daily broadcasts, I'm on brighteon.com. It's like the word bright, eon, bright, E-O-N.com. That's the platform that I founded. And I broadcast there daily, along with hundreds of thousands of other people, by the way, all kinds of users and videos there, and live streams now have been added. It's kind of like a much smaller version of Rumble, you know, a free speech platform. People love to post truth-based information, and we're not as big as Rumble, not even close, but we're another site in addition to Rumble, you know? So, hey, post on Rumble. I support Rumble, by the way. I think Chris Pavlovsky is doing a great job, and I post my stuff on Rumble, and I hope all of you support Rumble. But also post your content on brighteon.com so that, you know, get your stuff out on as many platforms as possible. You know, post it on X, you know, post it on BitChute, post it on Rumble, post it on Brighteon. Get it out there to as many platforms as you can and continue to contribute to the crowdsourcing investigations. And thank all of you for, you know, your time and your attention and your contributions to this. Together, I think we can decode this thing. We can figure this out. So God bless you all. I'm Mike Adams. Take care. Okay, one quick update to add to the video. I took a new measurement of the snap boom delay of round number 7 just to triple check it. And I think I got a more accurate number of 0.714 seconds instead of 0.77. So that changes the distance to be a little bit shorter, indicating a distance of, let's say, I mean, the math comes out to about 1,285 feet. Let's call that 1,100 to 1,500 feet as a possible range. So essentially, there are 7 rounds fired that we've analyzed here. Rounds 1 through 5 are all from the same distance. Round 6 is from medium range. Round 7 is from longer range. The range of round 6, by the way, with a delay of 0.366 seconds, is about 600 to 700 feet. Isn't that interesting? So we clearly have a cluster of shots at the 400 to 450 foot range. Those shots could be from crooks on the roof or an assassination team underneath him inside the building. There's no way for us to know just based on the audio file. Round 6 is from a shooter 600 to 700 feet away, and round 7 is from a shooter 1100 to 1500 feet away. And in my analysis, if you want to ask me what's the best guess of those first 7 rounds of where they originated, here's my guess. Here's my guess. Now, remember, there's about a 2.5 second delay between rounds 3 and 4. So somebody shot off 3 rounds, then there was a 2.5 second delay, and then comes rounds 4, 5, 6, 7. Here's my best guess. Rounds 1, 2, and 3 were most likely fired by crooks on the roof. Round 4 and round 5 were most likely fired by an assassination sniper team inside the building underneath crooks, or perhaps maybe not directly underneath him, but at the same distance, maybe, you know, in the same building, but to the side of him inside the building. Round 6, fired by a medium range sniper at an unknown location. I haven't had time to really analyze the map yet, but maybe somebody listening to this can indicate what's the most likely point from which that round could have originated. And then round 7, long range sniper, also at an unknown location. And I'm wondering about the water tower, although I haven't measured the distance, but if somebody out there is measuring the water tower distance at anywhere around, 1,100 to 1,500 feet, that would be consistent with the forensic signature. So there you go. As far as I can tell, those are the first 7 rounds. 3 different shooters at minimum, and possibly 4. Possibly crooks, sniper team in the building, sniper at medium distance, and sniper at long distance. 4 potential shooters, one of them a patsy. That would be crooks, which means that if this was indeed a deep state coup attempt, means they tripled up on the snipers and they all failed. that's what it means, because I guess they thought crooks was going to kill Trump and he didn't. And then at that point it was over. I mean, they couldn't get him. He was covered. He hit the ground and the Secret Service jumped on him, you know, his close-in team jumped on him. And so the snipers probably tried to vanish at that point. So that's my best guess of where we are. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, Brighteon.com. The hurricane that recently blew through Texas caused over 2 million people to lose power in the Houston area. And more people have lost power, you know, throughout Texas and other states as well as this has moved through. Our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, has a sister site called BeReady123.com. If you go there, you'll find that they've got power solutions, backup power systems right here. They've got solar generators. They've got storage systems. They've got a survival go bag on top of that and many other items. Plus, of course, you can get satellite phones and backup communication devices from them. They've made them all affordable with a monthly payment instead of having to buy everything up front with the phones. But if you go there, BeReady123.com, you'll find these systems that I use as backup power systems. And right now, the power grid is less reliable than ever before. It seems like we're suffering more kind of storms or, you know, outages or just cyber attacks on the power grid from time to time. It's always important to have a backup system. These solar generators, you can charge them from the sun. Obviously, they have built-in charge controllers and inverters. You can run small refrigerators off of these if you want to, or even blenders. You can recharge computers or mobile phones or batteries for flashlights or even night vision devices. So this is a really important technology area to make sure that you have squared away for your own personal preparedness and survival planning. Again, check out the website BeReady123.com, or you can go to the Satellite Phone Store if you just want the comms equipment, and that's at SAT123.com. And thank you for supporting our sponsors.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivvy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.